Good morning. I thought maybe you would be interested in a picture of, I really didn't entitle this correctly. I should have had a line drawn through today and tomorrow there. Billy and I had a chance to be with these young men as they spoke at Lads to Leaders, and they did a great job. You heard some of them last Sunday night, but I believe when they came to the Lads to Leaders convention, they were even better, and we had a great chance to listen to them, and I just want to encourage you to think, first of all, about how impressive it is for these young people to have the opportunity to learn, to learn to speak, to learn to read in an appropriate way, to learn to lead singing. There's so many aspects of worship that they are learning so much about. And it's amazing what they do. And if you've never been to the Lads to Leaders, I would encourage you to go. Drive up on Saturday. And you would spend most of the day on Saturday just being amazed at how many people are there. You'd be amazed at the organization of the hotel itself, what the Opryland Hotel has to go through to have this thing be pulled off. And then the organizational skills of those that lead the Lads to Leaders program. And then how hard it is to get to every place. In fact, there were several other people from our congregation that spoke at the same time that these young men did, and I had committed to them that I would come hear them, and so that meant I could not hear probably five or six others that I might have been able to hear had they been at different times. It is an amazing program, and for the congregation here to support it, it is a blessing. I think it's an amazing blessing. You may feel a drawback to it or two in your mind, but I'm telling you, the positives far, far, far outweigh any criticism that could be made of this program. So thankful for that. Second, I'm thankful for the way in which Randy led us a little while ago in observing the Lord's Supper, where we do as the Lord commands, to remember the Lord until he comes again. And in remembering him, we remember his death, his burial, his resurrection. We remember the physical problems that Jesus had to face in the ordeal of dying as he was beaten and hung on the cross. We have a chance to remember the bearing of our sins as he died on the cross. The greatest gift you and I could ever have would be for God to send his Son to take my sins from me and bear them on the cross. That's exactly what we have observed today. What a great blessing on this Lord's Day to have been able to do that. And as we do that, we recall the resurrection because we pray to God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. He didn't stay in the grave. He was raised from the dead. What an unbelievable blessing we have. God has blessed us with many, many great stories. We're looking at books of history. And these books of history in the Old Testament are written for our learning. So we need to learn lessons from them. In fact, no sermon, no Bible passage is going to do any good unless we listen to what that passage says and put it into practice in our life. The practical nature of the Word of God must be thought about. Every time you hear a sermon, it may be the worst speaker you've ever heard. It may be presented in the boringest way, but I promise you, if it's from the Word of God, you have an opportunity to make some kind of an application to your life. Today, I want you to think with me about the opportunity to think about an 85-year-old man. We've talked about our young people in Lads to Leaders and all that our young people do, and they're great. But we have some super older people in this group as well. And we need to be thinking about them, and we need to be encouraging them And we need to be helping them think about applying God's word to their life. And so we're going to look at a story of an 85-year-old man who was 40 when God promised him a mountain. He waited 45 years. 45 years. And those 45 years were not easy. In fact, all the other people his age didn't make it for 45 years. And we'll see why they did not make it. But I want us to not only see why those people didn't make it, but I want us to see why Caleb did. I want us to take a look at some of the qualities that he shows us in his life and that God tells us about in this passage that was read for us a little bit ago. Now, when we start thinking about what God has done for us, we need to think about those people that were Joshua and Caleb's age that did not make it those 45 years. Not one of these men of that evil generation shall see the good land. This is God talking. God is making a promise. And at the end of 45 more years, God had fulfilled that promise. But he said, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and he shall see it. Here's a promise. He's going to see it. And then in that bold underlined statement there, we see the beginning of why Caleb was listened to by God. And God fulfilled his promise to give Caleb his mountain. It's going to be given to him, to his children. God was going to give the land on which he had trodden when he went into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And here's why. Because he wholly followed the Lord. That's a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning with verse 35. We see right away, Caleb was a man who wholly followed the Lord. And when it came time for that promise of God to be fulfilled, Caleb was ready. He claimed the mountain that God had promised. What an unbelievable story about God and his faithfulness, God and his promise keeping, and an 85-year-old man who had given himself wholly over to God from a much younger time, who now is ready to receive God's promise. And so he claims the mountain that God promised him after 85 years. Now, I don't know if this is you sitting there or your grandparents or your parents, but growing older is not an easy thing. We don't get it done in the way that we ought to sometimes. We don't see life the way life ought to be seen. And so this may not be you, but it's just a tip that helps you see that life is difficult as you grow older in a number of ways. Now, this would be me today. We think about growing, and we see people working out and doing things, and this is my kind of workout here, and so maybe the next time I work out, I might try some weights as well. But life is not easy as you grow older. And we need to understand that and see that. And yet, here's an 85-year-old man who had lived an amazing 45 years from the time the promise was made to him about a mountain. And so we're going to be looking at, first of all, why their generation, Joshua and Caleb's generation, did not get that mountain or any part of it. Not even one foot being stepped on the promised land that God offered to his people. And there are many good reasons why. They brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out. The land through which we have gone, it's a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers. And so we sing to them. Here's a generation of people based on the words of these 10 spies that gave a bad report. They did not have enough confidence in God. They might have seen some big people. They did. They might have seen some of them devouring some of the inhabitants around them. I'm confident they did. But this is not man they're dealing with. It's God. And we have to keep that in mind. If we're going to make any application of this kind of lesson to ourselves, we're going to have to look at all the problems around us and see that it's not just man that we're dealing with. It's God. God has the power. God has the authority. God has the will. He has the ability to help us, to keep us, and to ultimately give us the mountain that we are seeking as a home in heaven with God. But we must have confidence. They saw themselves with a lack of power. They didn't think they were big enough and strong enough to do what God was wanting them to do. They demonstrated a tremendous lack of power. They said things like this: why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Wow. I don't understand really how these people who were saying these things could have seen the plagues. They witnessed it. Who could have seen being at the Red Sea and the Egyptian army coming after them, and God putting himself, if you will, between that army and them? God, through the blessing of opening the Red Sea and them being able to walk over on dry land, and to see the power of God when those waters came crashing back in, destroying the most powerful army in the world, just like that. They saw Moses throw a tree branch into water that was bitter and it became sweet. They saw Moses strike the rock and a river of water flowed out so that 1.5 million people at least could have water for themselves and for their animals. They saw all of that. They saw Moses having his arms held up by Aaron and Hur and them defeating a more mighty people. They saw all of that. And still, they say, we just don't have enough power to do what we need to do. Let's get somebody to take us out of this place and back to Egypt. This is the end result. When we don't think we have enough confidence and strength and power to do what God says we ought to do in life, God will be with us just like he did with those people. God forgot about it. They were not going to be a part of God's plan in the future. Say to them, this is God speaking, you say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. What'd they say? Let's get us a leader and go back to Egypt. What are we doing out here in the wilderness? Our children and our wives are going to become prey. We need to get out of this place. God said, I'm going to let what you said come to pass. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and all of your number listed in the census from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would give to make you dwell. Here's an exception. Caleb, Joshua, these guys were exceptions. It wasn't that they were bigger and stronger and more capable than any of those other 10 spies. The difference was the confidence level that they possessed in the God that they possessed, in the God that possessed them. That's why they were the exception. God forgot them. But as you take a look at Caleb, if you look at Caleb and why he was able to claim the mountain 45 years after God promised it, first of all, if you look at verse 10 here in this passage that was read a while ago, look at the confidence Caleb possessed. The Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness, and now, 45 years later, now, I am this day 85 years old. Back at age 40, he was a strong soldier. He was a warrior. This text is going to tell us a lot about Caleb. He's here now. He's ready now. And as we grow older, that's what God wants of us. He wants us ready now. He wants us present now. He wants us being confident in what we can do through him now. It's not about those of us that have grown a little bit older. It's not about what we could have done or did do when we were younger versus us being old and not being able to do things now. It's about what we're going to do now. Caleb had confidence, but Caleb had strength. His strength never failed. God blessed them in some amazing ways that you and I could think about. Here is what the text says about Caleb. And Caleb saw himself in this way. I am still as strong now, today, as in that day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. Caleb was ready. They are going to have to step across that Jordan River, and they're going to have to conquer all of these nations that are in what we call the land of Canaan. Caleb said, I'm ready. I can get this done. His confidence was so great, he saw himself as strong enough and ready to go. What about those of us who are growing older? And you know, one of the neatest things about life, and it's a good thing, these young folks in here, we got a lot of them at Ledge Leaders, we got some scattered throughout this audience, but these young people cannot imagine being my age. They just can't see it. They see me get up slow, and when I start walking, they see me walk funny, and I squeak, and there are all kinds of things that they can't see, and that's funny as it can be to them. All I know to tell you is go ahead and smile and laugh a little bit, because I did. Enjoy yourself where you are, but I'm telling you, every step you take in this world, you're getting closer to being my age if the Lord blesses you to live that long. And you're going to have to deal with the strength that you have at the present time. And that's what Caleb did. And now, today, my confidence level is that I'm going to cross that Jordan River. I'm going to claim my mountain. And I am ready to fight if that's what it takes. I'm strong enough. I can get it done. Not because Caleb was so great at age 85. But remember that first underlined statement. He wholly followed the Lord. That's the key. And here's the end result. Caleb's God never forgot. Sometimes it's hard for us, young and old, to remember what we promised yesterday. As children, wow, I don't know how many times I promised my mom, if you let me do this, I will do that tomorrow. I'm guessing I'm just like you. You nor I, when we made that promise at times, didn't get it done. We forgot our promise. And it wasn't that I was trying to rebel against my mom. I just got busy doing other things, playing, goofing off, doing what I wanted to. And I forgot what I promised I would do. God does not forget his promise. God's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. I may promise you something, and I forget. I remember one time, several years ago, I was with my good friends, Milton Tucker, Hoyt Kirk, on a golf course, and I needed $100. And I meant to bring it with me, and I forgot it. And I was going to go through another town and give that $100 to something. And so I said, guys, I know both those guys are wealthy people, and they carry big bucks all the time. And they each love to have a $100 bill hidden back. so I knew they both had a $100 bill on them. And I said, guys, I need $100. Which one of you is going to let me have $100? They both reached and grabbed their wallet, and Milton shoved his at me first. So I took his $100, and I did what I wanted to with it. And I said, as I took it, Milton, I promise you I'll forget this. Will you remind me? He said, I'll remind you. About 3 weeks later, he sent Hoyt to me saying, Roy, I've been talking to one of our friends that needs to go to the grocery store to get his family some food, but he loaned a guy $100 that never did pay him back, and he doesn't have the money to go to the grocery store. I forgot. You ever do that? God doesn't do that. And as we think about our lives and God, Joshua blessed Caleb. He gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And it was his inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb. And he was able to do it. Why? Look at that bottom line. He wholly followed the Lord. Good story. But it's meaningless unless you and I can take something from it to live our lives in a positive way. I don't know what your mountain is. You may be so great it's just a little hill, a little bump in the road. But most people have mountains, hard things to get, hard things to do in life. Where is your mountain? What is your mountain all about? Do you want to get up it? Do you want to climb it the way Caleb did? It may be 45 years. Some of you young people may have 45 years to wait before you can climb the mountain that you really want. Some of us are not going to have 45 years. And so if we have a mountain to claim, it's going to have to be quicker than 45 years. So if you want it, here are some suggestions. You need Caleb's confidence in God. Trust yourself to do all that you can do. And then beg God, help me. I need your strength. I need your help. Because you see, the second thing we're going to need is Caleb's spiritual strength. He wholly followed the Lord. I get to going in life sometimes and I come to a crossroads and I want to go this way, but I see the Lord's way this way. Sometimes I think, well, you know what? I may go this way and then curve back over into God's way. What we need to be thinking about at every crossroads in life is God's way, so that it can be said of us, young or old, that we wholly follow the Lord. That's what spiritual strength is going to be about. Trusting in Him and seeking His will and His way. And this morning, more than anything else, you need Caleb's God, who never forgets. He promises this morning, if you have never been baptized into Christ, that if you repent of your sins and you confess Christ's name before men, He will, when you are immersed with Christ in baptism, He promises you, you will be raised a new creation, created totally new, forgiven, clean, a saint, you're holy. That's what God wants from every one of us, and that's His promise. And that is how you claim Caleb's God, because that's wholly following the Lord. Sometimes those of us that are Christians, we get off the track. We forget about God. God won't forget us until we wholly choose to forget about Him. So if you're a child of God, God's promise is that if you will turn away from that, and if you will repent of your sins and pray that God will forgive you, you can be made clean. You can be made whole. You can be forgiven. That's how you reclaim Caleb's God if you're a child of God that needs help. And so this morning, it may be a spiritual mountain that you need to climb that making a public response could help you with. And that's what our song is designed for that we're about to sing. It's what our prayers ought to be about as we sing this song. Those of you that know of people anywhere, anytime, if they're in this building, if they're out of this building, that need Caleb's God, pray for them. And help lead them in the direction of that God. And so if you're here this morning and you need to make a public response, that's our hope, that's our prayer, that you will come as we stand and as we sing.
Again, we want to welcome everyone and invite you back anytime you can be with us, starting tonight at 5 o'clock for our evening services. If you have not done so already, please.